Taxi here. Francis Taxi, can I help you? Yeah, this is Dahar Scientific Developments Limited. No, not Dahar, D-A-R-R, Dahar. I happen to be the director. I'm sorry, young lady, this is not the United States Air Base. I'm not the CEO, and we have no one on our staff answering to the name of Butch. Indeed, well, I advise you to try director's inquiries. Good day to you. Miss Burkett?
Yes, Doctor?
I sent a bunch of slides along to the parasitologist this morning. I've not had the report yet. Can you chase it up, please?
Of course. I'll go along to the labs myself.
I wish you would. Oh, by the way, any sign of those youngsters of mine?
Yes, they've been here some minutes. I'd have called you and you were talking on the other line.
Oh, don't I know. Well, send them up, will you?
Very good.
No, better still. I'll see them in the morning room. Have Miss Brackley take me there, too, when she turns up, please.
Certainly, Doctor.
You might see we're not disturbed.
What about that report?
This afternoon will do.
Very well.
How are you, Stephanie?
Hello, Daddy.
Hello, Paul. Come into the morning room, will you? Make yourselves comfortable. I'm glad you were both able to get away.
I oughtn't to be here, but you did make it sound pretty urgent.
Well, it is important, certainly. But just how urgent seems still to be in doubt. I had hoped to know myself by now, but the fourth member of our quartet has been delayed.
The fourth?
Yes. I doubt whether you remember her. She left Dar nearly 14 years ago. Diana Brackley.
Oh, I think I do. Tall, rather distinguished looking, wasn't she?
I certainly see very well. I had a schoolgirl pass for Diana. I thought her the most beautiful, next to you, Daddy, the cleverest person in the world. I used to think she had a crush on you.
Oh, nonsense.
I was jealous. But I cried like anything when she went away.
So long ago. Well, how can she have anything that's really urgent to us? What's it about?
Well, don't leave us in suspense.
Well, you may think this is something I should have told you before.
Oh, dear, this sounds terribly ominous. Are we foundlings or something?
No, you're certainly not. Before a long story, I'd better start at the beginning.
Well, that's not a bad idea.
I'll try and condense it. It really began in the July of the year that your mother died.
Poor mummy.
And at the time, our research work here was only in its infancy. Diana Brackley, who'd just come down from the university with an honors degree in biochemistry, joined us as one of my assistants.
I remember all that. Go on.
Yeah, well, let me take my time, my boy.
Sorry, Dad.
One morning, after she'd been here about 8 months, there was a knock at my door and Diana came in, carrying in her hand a saucer of milk.
I'm sorry to disturb you, Dr. Taxover.
What is it, Miss Brackley?
Felicity of milk.
So I observed. I thought I'd ask you to sustain that cat in some less traffic-prone situation than my study.
I want you to look at this milk, Dr. Taxover.
Why?
Well, she hasn't drunk it.
Apparently not. But I can't think what Felicity's habits have to do with me.
I poured this milk out for her yesterday. There was thunder in the night and it turned, at least nearly all of it.
Well?
Well, you see this little round white spot with a dark speck in the middle?
Yes.
Well, the milk there is still perfectly fresh for some reason. Try some on your finger.
There it is. Funny. What were you working on when you poured this out?
Well, that new batch of lichens, the McDonald's lot.
Well, let's fish out the black speck and see what it is. Put it on one of these slides. There we are. Have a look at this under my microscope. Well, can you identify?
Yes. Yes, I think I can. It's a fragment from the one I've called Lichenus imperfectus tertius mongolensis secundus macdonaldi.
You indeed.
Well, nearly all lichens seem to be imperfecti anyway.
Oh, I'll write you up.
For antibiotic, do they?
Yeah, well, it could be. 100 to 1 against it being a useful biotic, of course. Still, it doesn't do to skip chances. I'll take a look at it in the lab and let you know.
Thank you, Dr. Saxover. I'll be interested to know what you find.
Did you find anything?
Well, lichens are queer things, and only comparatively recently have some of them been found to have antibiotic properties. Naturally, I thought, as anyone would, that an antibiotic was what I was looking for.
And weren't you?
Yes, but after a while, I had to recognize that this was not an antibiotic, but something quite different. Something there was no name for. So I had to invent one. I called it an anti-Jerome.
What, Daddy?
Anti against Jerome age, or more literally, an old man. One could have been more accurate, but it will do.
Against old age, is that it?
Well, roughly speaking, yes. The active concentrate derived from the lichen I call simply lichenin, and the actual physico-chemical details are, of course, extremely complicated, but the total effect is quite straightforward. It simply retards the normal rate of metabolism throughout the organism.
Daddy, you don't mean you found... Oh, no, it can't be that.
It is, darling. That's what it is.
You, Daddy, you...
Even I, my dear. Someone was bound to come across you quite soon. It just happened to be me.
Just happened? Like it just happened to Fleming with penicillin. Oh, gosh, Daddy. I feel like... I don't know what I feel.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dad, but I don't get this. I'm only a plain civil engineer, remember. Are you trying to tell us you've discovered some kind of, well, elixir? An elixir of life, in fact?
Well, nothing quite as medieval as that, Paul, but you're getting warm. No, I should describe it in strictly non-scientific terms, of course, as a preservative, rather, an agent which can slow down the normal processes of cell growth and deterioration.
How long? Daddy, I asked you, how long? How long am I going to live?
In the present circumstances, I estimate your expectation of life, my dear, at approximately 220 years.
Good God.
Come in.
I'm so sorry, but Miss Brass is on the line from London. If you get it, it's important.
Thank you, Miss Burkett. Well, I'd better take it in my study. I'm sorry about this, you two. I'll be back as soon as I can.
220? Do you think he really meant that?
Can you imagine Daddy saying a thing like that if he didn't mean it?
No, I suppose not. Me too?
Of course. Only it'll be a bit less for you.
I don't see how you got on to it so far.
Well, nor do I, quite. It was like one of those puzzle things. He gave it a twist the right way, and it all slipped together quite suddenly.
What slipped together?
Oh, lots of little things.
Such as?
Wait till Daddy gets back. He'll explain it all much better than I can.
I'm sorry, Diana. We'll be coming down after all. The emergency's over, she says.
What emergency?
Hey, well, I'm not altogether clear about that yet, except that she thought there might be some publicity and that she ought to warn me.
But where does Diana come into it? Is she acting as your agent or something?
No. Until a couple of days ago, I had no idea that anybody but me knew anything about the lichening. However, she made it clear that she does and has done for some time.
Do you mean she'd stolen your work?
No, she says she worked it out for herself.
But what's the emergency about?
Well, apparently she's been using the lichening. Something went wrong and she's now being sued for damages. She wants to keep it out of court.
And she can't pay, so she'd like to borrow it from you.
I wish you wouldn't keep jumping to conclusions, Paul. It's some firm she's in that's being sued. They can pay all right, she says, but the damages claimed are so high as to amount to blackmail. On the other hand, if they refuse, there'll be publicity, and that's the last thing we want at this stage.
But, Daddy, I don't see... What is this firm of Diana's? What's it called?
Well, something odd. Egyptian. Ridiculous sort of name. Cleopatra.
Not Nefertiti?
Yes, that's it. Nefertiti Limited.
Good heavens! And Diana's... Oh, no.
What on earth are you laughing at? A firm called Nefertiti sounds more preposterous and funny to me. Well, what's it do?
Oh, dear Daddy, really, where do you live? It just happens to be one of the... Well, the beauty place in London.
Oh, what are you talking about, Jessie? You kind of pull my leg.
No, Daddy, it's true. Well, I thought everyone must have heard of Nefertiti. It's the most famous place of its kind in the country.
A beauty parlor?
Yes.
Sorry, but it is funny, isn't it? I mean, the greatest discovery in the century, too big a secret to share.
This is any brand new
after all these years. Oh, my God.
Feeling better now, Daddy?
Much better, thanks. Nothing like a good cup of coffee to restore one's sense of proportion. Well, now, shall I go on?
Well, I wish you would, Dad. I'm 75% in the dark.
No, as I told you, I take little credit for finding lichening. It started from an accident. The difficult part began when I realized what I had found.
I can understand that.
And the more I thought about it, the more alarmed I felt. You see, this thing is in the megaton range. Not as spectacular as the nuclear boys' fireworks, but more important, more disruptive in its way, but potentially a great deal more beneficial.
That's a comfort.
But just imagine the result of a public announcement. The thing would be off like a prairie fire. Think of the newspapers.
I can see the headlines. You too can be a Methuselah. Oh.
And the intriguing, the bribery. fighting even that would come of people trying to get in first, and the chaos that would follow in a world which is already overpopulated. 3 or 4 centuries ago, we might have absorbed the impact. But not now.
No, I suppose not.
But that wasn't the whole of it. Discovery in the wrong century is bad enough. I'd done worse. I've discovered the wrong anti-Jerome.
The wrong one?
The basic trouble with lichenin is that it's derived from a rare species that was sent us by a roving botanist called MacDonald. This lichen exists in colonies which, as far as he knows, are restricted to a few square miles of territory in Manchuria, not Mongolia, as Diana thought. In other words, there's precious little of it.
Meaning that when the demand arose, you couldn't supply it?
Not even a minute fraction of it.
But couldn't it be transplanted, grown in other places?
To get the amount of derivative that would be needed, you'd have to cultivate the lichen over thousands of square miles of suitable land. Even so, you'd never raise enough because you could never guard it. The value would be too high. No, for nearly 15 years, I've seen only one way out.
And what's that?
To find a method of synthesizing it. And that, so far, I've failed to do. You see my difficulties. I badly needed someone to confide in, assistance to help me work on the synthesis. But there was no one I could bring myself to trust entirely. One critical clue dropped on one occasion, and the damage would be done. To make sure it couldn't leak, I had to keep the discovery locked up in here, in my head.
But what's the use of the discovery if no one's to benefit from it?
Precisely. In order to use it at all, I had to resort to subterfuge. And that's where you two come in.
Us?
Yes. If anyone was entitled to benefit, surely it was you. I was satisfied with my results on lab animals. I tried it on myself with equal success. Now it was your turn. But I had to contrive some way of treating you without your knowing the treatment's real nature.
Our immunizations. Zephyr's mine, was that it?
Exactly, Paul. Your immunizations.
But we've been having those things ever since we were kids. Darned effective, too. I haven't had a cold for years.
Nor has Zephyr, if it comes to that.
And now what you're trying to tell us, Dad, is that it wasn't ordinary immunization at all, but that we've been regularly dosed with this stuff of yours, lichenin or whatever you call it.
You and Zephyr were my first patients.
Your first guinea pigs, you mean?
Paul.
I see now what you meant, Zeph, when you said it all slipped together. He'd been trying out this stuff on us for years without telling us a word.
I'm sorry, Paul. As I said, I had to resort to subterfuge.
But didn't you see what... Oh, good Lord.
With luck, it would give me some years in hand. It did. It's over 10 years since I gave Paul his first implant. Unfortunately, for all the progress I've made, it might have been last week.
Poor Daddy, it must have been dreadful for you.
It still is. As for this emergency of Diana's, it doesn't greatly matter. In the nature of things, it can't be long now until someone says, strange how all three of those sacks overs look so young for their age, and set someone else wondering about it. One day, it'll start as simply as that. But meantime, it's best for everyone it should be kept as quiet as long as possible. Something may yet turn up. We want to give it all the time we can.
Apart from Diana, things aren't really much different, are they?
Aren't they? 3 days ago, I was on my own. Now, I know that Diana knows, and by telling you, I've doubled the number of people who know.
But it's only us, Daddy, Paul and me. Unless, of course, Diana's told someone.
She says not.
There you are, then. It's practically as you were.
Well, that's all very well. Things may be the same for you, Jeff. They aren't for me. I have a wife. She has a right to know.
You don't have to tell her at once, Paul.
What would you think of a husband who held out on you over a thing like this?
I'm not saying you shouldn't tell her, only that you should postpone it.
You see, Paul, once an idea has been planted, no one can tell when and where it'll stop growing. Don't think I don't see your problem, Paul. I do. Nevertheless, I shall say this. If you are willing to risk precipitating a disaster on a scale you never imagined, then go ahead and do what seems to you the gentlemanly thing. But if you are wise, you will tell no one. No one at all.
All right. I'm quite aware that you've never really liked Jane, either of you. Now you're telling me you don't trust her. Well, that's what it amounts to, isn't it? Very well, if that's how things are, there seems very little point in our discussing the situation any longer. Stephanie, I suppose you've made your own arrangements for getting back to London.
Paul.
Goodbye.
I didn't manage it very well. I suppose you will tell her.
I'm afraid so, Daddy.
Then what?
I imagine she'll come to you wanting lichenin treatment for herself. I don't think she'll blurt it out. Not yet.
Perhaps you're right.
Daddy, Before I go, I'd like to know a little more about it. What exactly it's going to mean to me, to us all. Tell me, Daddy, please.
I am delighted to hear that you hope to continue with the course of treatment as soon as you return from your film engagement in Rome. With kindest regards, Chester. And that, Sarah, appears to be the lot.
There are these checks for signature, Miss Bradley.
Oh, right. I'll sign everything else this afternoon.
Weren't you going down to the country?
No, I've changed my plans. I telephoned Dr. Saxover and cancelled the engagement.
Oh, I see.
By the way, don't forget to check the figures in that interim report. I shall need them for tomorrow's meeting.
Of course, Miss Bradley. Miss Bradley, secretary, can I help you? Oh, hold the line a moment, please.
It's that Bertram firm. They want to know if you've decided to place a contract for those jars.
I'll tell them I'll write. I'm not entirely sold on the designs they submitted. We might do much better.
Very well. Miss Bradley will be writing to you. No, I'm afraid I don't. Goodbye.
Is Brewster here yet?
Yes, I saw the car outside as I came up.
Good. Tell him I'll be down in 5 minutes. I'm going back to the flat for an early luncheon. They need to drive me to Lincoln's Inn. I have a date with the lawyers at 2.
Oh, will you be needing Mrs. Willoughby's file then?
No, I don't think so. Her claim was settled this morning. Now it's merely a question of my seeing the terms they've agreed on.
Settled? Oh, I am glad.
So am I. It's cost the firm a pretty penny. £5,000, to be precise.
5,000? But it's sheer blackmail.
Of course it is, but the Willoughby woman had a case of her kind, and win or lose, Nefertiti just couldn't afford the publicity. At any rate, we've succeeded in keeping the story from the press, and that's something to be thankful for.
Well, there's something there, I'm sure. And I'd like to look into it.
You outfit, Nefertiti. Got to be darn sure of your foothold.
That's right. But it's just the kind of outfit readers of the Sunday Pro would enjoy seeing getting soft, high-class luxury scandal stuff. Look, Bill, this Willoughby woman has shaken him down for 5,000. She'd have been lucky to get 500 if the case had gone to court. You can't say that doesn't stink.
Of course, he's only fair. He had to pay a lot to keep out of the court.
But 5,000?
It's an item on expenses. Treasury pays. This Willoughby woman happens to be an allergy. Could happen to anyone. Frequently does. Lord knows what they put into all the creams, lotions, and what have you as they use in these places. Probably harmless to most people, but once in 100,000 times, up pops the one exception, who sort of fizzes on contact. It's a trade hazard, a calculated risk. But naturally, they don't want publicity.
All the same, there's something fishy somewhere.
Think so? These places have what they like to consider as valuable trade secrets, you know.
Suppose it is a trade secret. It's built up one hell of a good business. Why shouldn't we try to winkle it out and give it to our readers?
You may have something there, Jerry.
I know I have. Besides, this Blackley woman who runs this joint, not the usual type at all. I've got a bit of preliminary dope on her. Have a look at that.
D.P. Brackley, age 39, but said to look much younger. 5'10", dark brown hair, good features, the looker. Drives a heck of a fine car. Lives 83 Darlington Court, SW1. Rent fabulous. Well, what about it?
Read on, Bill.
Father, Harold Blackley, dead bank clerk. Occupied semi-detached house, Clapham. Subject only child. Attended St. Mary's High School, winning scholarship at Cambridge. Honours degree with bells on. Biochemistry. Took job 3.5 years. Dower House Development, Ockenham. I see what you mean.
There's more to it than that. Listen. At age 25, such inherited unexpected legacy of £40,000 from distant cousins. 6 months later, turned in Dower House job and bought small beauty business Mayfair. 2 years later, absorbed this in New Nefertiti Limited, non-cap 100 pounds, has gone ahead beautifying the knobs of the knobs ever since. Personal details scanty, unmarried, lives costly but not flashy, spends freely on dress. Love life, no public knowledge, but research proceeds.
No very human figure emerges.
Well, this is only a rough preliminary, but that Dower House job, I think that's interesting. Supposing she came across something there that the others haven't got and decided to cash in on it. I reckon it's worth finding out.
All right, Jerry boy, but go canny. This Nefertiti house would pack a lot of high-powered feminine influence. If you find anything that's going to blow up into a big scandal, there'll be some important wives involved, and I won't publish a word if it's not in a watertight jar. So just bear that in mind, won't you?
Miss Jacksover, madam.
Bethany. Come in, my dear. How wonderful to see you again.
Diana. Then it's true. It really does work.
Why are you so astonished? You've only to look in the mirror yourself to know it does.
Oh, that's not quite enough. It might have been simply me. But you. You're as lovely as ever, Diana, and no older at all.
It's all been a bit of a shock to you, I suspect.
It was. I'm getting over it now. That's why I decided to telephone. I hope you didn't mind.
I'm delighted you did, my dear. But you sounded so tense, I thought it best to suggest meeting here, in my flat, where we can talk things over quietly.
Oh, that was thoughtful of you.
A cigarette?
I don't, thanks.
Do you mind if I do?
No, of course not.
Well, now, what's the trouble? What do you want me to do?
Well, you've done some of it already. Seeing you has reassured me. I began to feel I was a kind of freak. Well, I don't know, but I do want to understand what's going on.
Naturally.
I want to know how you come into it, and about Nefertiti and the beauty business and the crisis that blew up and then disappeared. Oh, and lots of other things that have been worrying me.
All right. Half knowledge is precarious, anyway. I'd better begin at the beginning. You may not approve, but I'll give you what I can of my side of the story. Of course, I was only one of your father's assistants. But morally, at least, I've as much right to it as he has. But that's not the point. Where both of us got stuck was the handling of our discovery. I couldn't see how to deal with it. And then something you said put me on the track.
Something I said?
Yes. We were talking about women being diddled. Do you remember?
I can't say I do.
Well, never mind. You gave me the clue. I suddenly saw in a flash how the thing could be put across.
Put across?
Yes. I saw how women could be started on longer lives without their knowing it. By the time they found out, I hoped there'd be enough of them to wield real influence. People have been given long life and not going to renounce it.
But why should they? Surely everyone else will be fighting for it too, not trying to prevent other people.
Well, you're talking of individuals, my dear. But individuals are subject to institutions, and as I see it, institutions will definitely not want it.
Why ever not?
Because our institutions are designed to survive our own limitations by the continual replacement of worn-out parts. Promotion, if you like. Behind them all lies the assumption that the days of our age are 70. You take that away and they'll lose their whole raison d'etre.
Well, that's very sweet.
Well, is it? Ask yourself how many people are going to say to the prospect of long life at the cost of, say, 200 or 300 years as an underling.
But
and take another example. Marriage. The death to us part you is beginning to wear pretty thin even now. Well, how will it stand up to the prospect of 150 years sent to the partner grabbed in adolescence?
Oh, Diane.
Oh, no. What we'll have is individual man in a life and death struggle with institutional man. And a fine crop of schizophrenia that'll raise.
But if it's a matter of personal choice...
It won't be. The whole is always greater than the sum of its parts. Institutions fighting desperately to survive might well bring about the rejection of Lichtenstein altogether.
I can't believe that. It's against all our natural instincts of survival.
Civilized man's had to suppress his instincts before now. I rate the possibility of rejection very high indeed.
I don't know what to think. I was beginning to believe that Daddy's discovery, well, yours and Daddy's, was going to open up a wonderful new era. But he thinks people will be fighting to get it, and you think they'll be fighting each other to stop it. So what's the use? If it isn't going to bring anything but wretchedness, it would be better if neither of you had ever found it.
You don't mean that, my dear. You know as well as I do that the world's in a mess, floundering deeper every day. Look at us. Thousands more of us every day. In a century or so, we shall be in the age of famine.
Oh, surely by then...
Oh, we shall manage to postpone the worst one way or another. But postponement isn't solution, and when the breakdown comes, it will be so ghastly that the H-bomb will seem humane by comparison.
Horrible.
Yet we're letting the world drift towards that day with an evil irresponsibility, just because we shan't be there to see it.
And how is it to be prevented?
I see only one thing that will stop it happening, and that is that some of us should be going to live long enough to be afraid of it for ourselves, long enough to give us time to acquire wisdom, to get us beyond the state of acting like animal prodigies. Sorry for the tub-thumping, my dear.
I expect it's a relief to say it to someone, even if it's only me. Is this the way you saw it when you were at Dar?
No. Now, in those days, I saw it as a gift we must use because it seemed to me a step in evolution, a new development that would lift us one more plane above the animals. I saw no great urgency then. What seemed important was to build up a body of people who would have a vested interest in fighting for it when the time came.
Nefertiti.
Nefertiti. So far, that it must seem outrageous. A breach of faith. Unethical, I suppose you'd say. After all, I was supposed to be a biochemist, dedicated to my own small field of research. But I've done it. I've got almost 1,000 women, nearly all of them married or related to people of influence. And once they understand the situation, I shall be sorry for anyone who tries to legislate them out of their extra years of life.
How did you set about it in the beginning?
And the first thing was to make certain of a steady supply of lichenin. Your father may have told you that I named the first batch Mongolensis macdonaldi.
Yes, he did.
Well, actually, the stuff comes from Hokiang, a province of Manchuria. I got in touch with people out there who'd worked with Mr. MacDonald. He died, meantime, and arranged for a small annual consignment to be sent to me direct. The supply is limited, and the sites where it grows are all within a radius of about 25 miles.
And the arrangement has worked?
So far. But any trouble in those parts might cut it off entirely. What's more, not only is the place under Chinese control, but the Soviet frontier is less than 200 miles away. Unless the Russians have taken interest, well, anything might happen.
Why are you telling me all this?
Because I think someone else ought to know. But the real source of the supply is the one thing that must not, in any circumstances, be made public. Do you understand?
Yes, Diana.
I've laid my red herrings, and I hope your father has too. But if anything ever leaks out, he and I will be the chief targets, and... Well, you never can tell. It'll be a matter of life and death, you know.
I wish you hadn't told me about the source of the lichen, I mean.
Why?
Because I'm not to be trusted.
What do you mean, Stephanie?
I've let it out. I've already told someone. Oh, not the whole thing, of course, but just enough.
Who was it?
A young man I know whose parents live near Dar. His name's Richard Treverne.
Did he believe it, or did he just think you were being silly?
I'm not sure.
This Richard, what sort of a young man? Brains or beef?
Both.
Fortunate young man. Do you trust him?
I'm going to marry him.
Well, that's no answer. Women are constantly marrying men they don't trust. What's his job?
He's a lawyer.
Oh, we should have some idea of discretion, then. Well, either you've got to let him know more or shut him up. I'd take him to see your father, if I were you.
Yes.
Well, that's settled, then. Now, I want to know a bit more about you. What factor is your father using for you?
What?
Factor. Is he increasing your time by 3, 4, or 5?
Oh, I see. He said 3, both Paul and me.
That's cautious. I'm using 5. Safe, but more detectable. The Nefertiti clients are mostly on 2 or 2.5.
I still can't understand how you can do it without their knowing.
Oh, it isn't difficult. On the whole, we've managed wonderfully smoothly until we came up against this Willoughby woman and her damned allergy. Oh, well, perhaps we'll weather it. If we don't, we shan't get Homo Superior without any birth pangs. And what is important is to stop him being strangled at birth.
Editor here.
Hello, Bill. On the top of the morning to you.
Jenny, you sound very pleased with yourself.
I am. I've made a contact.
What sort of contact?
At Nefertiti One. An innocent-looking maiden who works there and who adores caviar and champagne.
I trust you filled her up with both.
Yeah, but I'm going to. Look, Bill, this Nefertiti outfit really does seem to do something pretty remarkable for its clients. I've been checking up on some of them. In particular, a certain Lady Tule.
The Lady Tule?
Yeah, a beautiful Lady Tule. Remember how she started?
I don't.
I'll enlighten you. 10 years ago, she was a medical student in a London hospital. Then, by luck, she hooked and married Tule, who was already a millionaire. But since then, she's been busy turning herself into the most glamorous bit of homework that ever walked up the stairs at Lancaster House in a tiara and mink. Fabulous clothes, fabulous jewels, fabulous face.
Get to the point, Jerry.
According to the book, this dame can't be a day less than 35.
Well... So what? You said these Nefertiti people did their clients pretty well.
Yeah. There's something else. That Dar House place, remember?
What about it?
Campbell runs it. Thanks, over. I've discovered he collected his doctorate way back in 1928.
So what?
Simply this. This chap's thanks, over. A full-blown doctor's found in 1928 and presumably not numbered among Nefertiti's clients. Happens to look young enough to be his own son.
Okay, what do I do about it?
The old Sandy Brawl is onto something, Bill. Hold me a three-column panel on your feature page, and I'll promise you'll have a story that'll make the rest of us sit up. And with pictures.
And as far as one can judge from the blueprints, the scheme's a perfectly sound one.
Excuse me, Mr. Sackover.
Yes, what is it, Frank?
Your father's on the telephone, sir. He says it's rather urgent. I thought you might care to take the call in the next room.
Thank you, sir. Excuse me, gentlemen. Yes,
sir. Hello?
Is that you, Paul?
Yes, Oliver.
I had a visit from your wife this morning, Paul. I think at least you might have had the courtesy to tell me you'd informed her.
But I'd already explained the position as I saw it, Father. I thought you realized I'd have to tell her.
When did you tell her?
The next morning.
5 days ago, eh? Did she say anything about coming to see me?
Well, yes, she did. But I thought she might have changed her mind and decided to wait a bit. What did she want?
What do you think she wanted? Demanded, in fact.
And, did you?
Yes, I did. I thought you'd better know.
Damn. I wonder what else she's been up to.
Well, Miss Brendan, now you've told me all about this young man you met last night, why are you so reluctant to accept his invitation to dinner?
Well, it was all these questions he kept asking me about Nefertiti. After a bit, I began to have a feeling that the whole subject hadn't come up by accident. I suppose I look a bit green, but I'm not really, so I made some inquiries about him and found out that he's quite a well-known journalist. His name's Gerald Marlin, and he works for the Sunday Post.
Does he? You're certainly not green, Miss Brendan. Well, now, I think we ought to meet this Mr. Marlin tomorrow evening and tell him the sort of thing he wants to know.
But I...
All right. I'll get Miss Tolwyn to brief you. I'd much prefer to know exactly what he's being told about our business.
Yes, Miss Bradford.
Very well, then. Have a good time, and don't let him get his information too cheaply. When he makes an offer, put your price at double, then compromise at about 50% above what he originally offered. It's a sort of convention that helps to reassure them.
Yes. And what shall I do with the money?
Bless the girl, you've earned it. You do what you like with it. Now, off you go and let me know how it works out.
Yes, Miss Bradley, of course.
Good afternoon, Miss Bradley.
Yes, Miss Bradley.
Oh, Sarah, what was Miss Brendan's job before she joined us, you know?
Oh, she was training to be a nurse, I believe. Then her father died and she had to give it up.
She seems a nice girl.
Yes, and capable. The sort that might have made a good matron one day. Pity she had to come to this.
Dear Sarah, so tactful. Bring her file up, will you, please? I want to talk to you.
There we are, my boy. Quite undramatic, I'm afraid. The films do this sort of thing much better. The implant will dissolve very slowly and be gradually absorbed into your system.
I'd expected something more like an ordinary injection.
Oh, did you? Keep the bandage on for a day or two.
It's still difficult to believe. I don't really know what to say, sir.
Well, don't try, Richard. Once I was aware that you knew, it became a matter of expediency to offer you the benefit.
Well, that's all very well, but aren't you taking a bit of a risk? You don't know a great deal about me.
You'll be surprised, my dear fellow.
I don't quite follow.
I'll explain. At Dar, we always have several projects in hand, some of great potential value.
Of course.
A few of our competitors are none too scrupulous. They wouldn't hesitate to use any means to find out what they want to know. When one has an attractive daughter, it therefore becomes one's distasteful duty to learn something about her friends and their background.
I see.
As a lawyer, your integrity is beyond question. But you should take great care not to let anyone else get an inkling of this. No one at all.
Had you someone particular in mind?
No. But that young fellow you introduced to Zephany the other day, for instance, Farrier, wasn't he?
Tom Farrier. Yes, he's an advertising man. I knew him at school.
Did you also know that his mother remarried 3 or 4 years ago and that her husband happens to be the head research man with Chemi Cultures Limited? One of the most important of a large-scale manufacturing chemist?
I didn't know.
No. I can see you didn't. Oh, well, it's a devious world. Oh, by the way, I don't think we'll mention any of this to Zephany. As I said, it's a distasteful precaution, but necessary. In this case, very necessary. Hey, you'll be staying to dinner, won't you?
Oh, no, thank you, sir. I promised my people I'd dine at home.
Ah, pity. Well, have a drink before you go.
I suppose I can really begin to believe in all this one day, Zephany.
It isn't easy, I know, darling. It means scrapping everything we accepted in childhood. All the yardsticks and reference points. They won't be any good anymore.
Not much doubt about that.
10 days ago, I was happy at the thought of spending 50 years with you, Richard, if we should be lucky. Now, I just don't know. Can one spend 150 years, 200 perhaps, with somebody? Can two people go on loving one another that long?
We shall have time to find that out, shan't we? Oh, come on, darling. This thing isn't to be worried about. It's to be lived. It's going to be an adventure. We're going to enjoy finding out about it together, aren't we?
Oh, yes, yes, my darling, we are. Of course we are.
Good morning, Zephyr. You're down early?
Yes, Richard's picking me up directly after breakfast. He promised me a lift back to town. Coffee?
Yeah, please. Just all the posters, Tommy.
What do you expect on a Monday morning, darling?
Since he's near the writing.
Here's a coffee, Daddy. Drink it while it's hot.
Oh, thanks. Well, I'm blowed. Listen to this, Stephanie. Dear Francis, I expect that the inquiries may not have caught your attention. I feel that it should. The explanation is that one of my red herrings has taken wings and seems likely to prove a credit to its stable. Yours in haste, Diana Brackley.
Diana? What's she up to now?
Collecting newspaper clippings, apparently. Have a look at them while I deal with this egg.
The Sunday Radar.
That rag.
It's dated yesterday.
What's it say?
In headlines, Corner in Beauty Broken for Radar Readers. And beneath, Great News for You, You, and You. And then come some photographs of society women.
Well, never mind about them. What's it all about?
It's about the pictures. Take a look at this gallery of beauty. In each case, the upper picture's the way she looked 10 years ago, and the lower, the way she looks today. Haven't changed much, have they?
Go on.
Now, compare that picture you had taken 10 years ago with what looks out from your mirror. See the difference? And what does it cost a socialite to have 10 years go by and scarcely have a mark? £300? £400? Now, thanks to the radar, everyone can share the amazing inner secrets of London's most illustrious beauty establishment. Commencing next week, Sunday Radar, you can read the... Oh, do you really want me to go on, Daddy?
Certainly not. I can't imagine why I thought I'd be interested.
Oh, I can. She's ringed the pictures in red pencil, and beside them she's written clients with a lot of exclamation marks.
What's the other clipping got to say?
It's from the Sunday Pro. More of a sort of article. It's signed by someone called Gerald Marley.
Oh, don't let that put us off. Go on.
It has been no secret around Mayfair that a certain exclusive beauty house has recently settled for damages on a lavish scale rather than expose its workings to vulgar notice in the law court. While our sympathy must go out to a lady who's had to suffer great discomfort, we cannot deny her our congratulations. She hasn't done at all badly out of it.
Mrs. Willoughby.
An allergy is a whimsical thing, and the source of this sensitive client's affliction remains unknown even to herself. May we offer her the following advice? Let her shun the shores of Galway Bay, and at all costs avoid coming into contact with a certain type of seaweed to be found in that delectable Irish beauty spot. Diana's red herring.
So it would seem. I wonder how she... Paul! Where have you sprung from?
Sorry to burst in on you like this, Father, but I'm afraid I've got bad news.
Paul!
So bad, in fact, that I thought the best thing was to jump into the car and come straight down.
Well, sit down, my boy, and let's hear about it. You look all in.
Have you had breakfast?
Yes, but I could do with some of that coffee, sir.
I'll get you a clean cup.
Well, what's it all about, Paul?
It's Jane. She's cleared out.
Cleared out? You mean she's left you?
Yes. We had a blazing row yesterday, which ended in her locking herself in her bedroom. This morning, when I woke, I found she'd already gone, taking a couple of suitcases with her.
But why on earth, Paul? What was the row about?
The lichening.
How do you mean?
Well, she'd been acting strangely ever since she got back from Dar. Wouldn't admit to anything, even when I told her I already knew about the implant. Then, yesterday, as we were going to bed, I happened to notice the dressing on her arm. And I saw at a glance that it wasn't done your way.
You mean someone had tampered with the bandage?
Yes. Anyhow, I insisted on her taking it off.
Well, did she?
After a lot of argument, yes. When I examined the incision, I found that the implant was not there.
Are you sure?
Positive. It was obvious what had happened. The incision had been opened, the tablet extracted, and the incision closed again with a couple of stitches as it had been before.
Damn. I don't understand. What could it mean?
It means, Stephanie, that Diana's red herring is not going to work.
Why not?
Because the cat, to mix our metaphors, is already out of the bag.
Diana Brackley here.
Diana, glad I caught you at home. It's Francis.
Francis, how nice to hear your voice. Did you get my letter this morning?
Yes. Thank you for the cutting.
It's working like a bomb already. The switchboard girl at the office says we ought to employ a parrot to say no comment to all the papers are ringing up.
Oh, indeed.
And I understand there's a call from the Ministry of Agriculture and Fisheries to inquire if I have a permit to import seaweed. I'm keeping severely out of the way.
I'm sorry, Diana. I'm feeling it to sound a sour note. I won't tell you about it now, but I've got to see you. Can you dine with me tonight in London?
I'd love to.
Carriage is 8:30 then. Would that suit?
Well, the time would, but not the place. From now on, I'm a masked woman and we mustn't be seen together. I suggest we make it a little place called the Atomium in Charlotte Street.
Very well. The Atomium at 8:30.
I am looking forward to seeing you again, Francis. I do so want to have a talk.
So do I.
You sound rather grim. Is it very serious?
Yes, I'm afraid it is. 8:30 tonight, then. Goodbye.
Coffee! Not again. Editor speaking.
Wilkes here.
Who?
Wilkes.
Oh, Wilkes. Yes.
What's all this thing about seaweed?
Seaweed?
Yes, you mucked up a campaign I've been cooking up for weeks. You wait till I get my hands on you. Your own mother won't know you.
I'm sorry, old man. It's Marlin's pigeon, not mine. I only print the stuff. Goodbye. Johnny.
Yes?
That seaweed doesn't get it. It's raised a hornet's nest. They're all out for it now. Better get a report around to the Nefertiti place right away.
I'll put young Burns on it.
Yeah, see if he can pick up a straight story. Oh, so it's you, Jerry. About time, too.
Why?
I just had Wilkes from the radar breathing death wishes down my telephone. You queer old campaign he'd cooked up.
Too bad I had to spike the little game. If I hadn't, they'd have scooped it. Pity. I'd have liked to acquire a few seaweed rights before the others thought of getting in on, too.
What are you talking about?
Don't rush, old boy. Oh, there's lots of gold, so I've been told, on the banks of the Galway Bay. Oh, mind you, Bill, I'm not without a stake in several of the prospecting parties. Just about every beauty dope maker in the kingdom's been on my phone wanting to know more. The only thing is, I haven't got a clue which particular brand of seaweed is the magical kind. The radar has identified, they can still pull one over on us.
If they had, Wilkes wouldn't have blown off as he did. No. The thing to do is to find out where the stuff is processed and liberate a specimen of it.
Worth trying.
Certainly it's worth trying. Could do a lot for the female readership, and that's what counts these days.
34 spent the night in the spare room. When you woke up, she'd gone. And nobody's seen her since.
There's no chance that you didn't secure the implant properly in the first place.
None whatever.
And the implication is that she got it from you in order to take it to someone else.
Clearly. Probably with the promise that she'd be treated again once they had the secret.
And a whacking good payment down by the sound of her.
Yes.
How much could they learn from the tablet?
Well, less than they think, probably. But it would give them a line to work on.
Does she know where it comes from?
No.
And what do you suppose would be their next step?
Well, look into our imports and try and trace something from them, I imagine.
They won't find that so easy. You're continually getting parcels of stuff from all over the world.
Yes, but not many lichens, unfortunately. If they find the collectors, they won't have much trouble in identifying the particular species.
Well, we've kept saying they. Have you any idea who they may be?
Well, no reputable firms would touch it in the circumstances, but there are others in the trade. The Saxover name would get her a hearing.
Yes, it would be the trade, I suppose.
They won't be able to hold it to themselves, whoever they are.
Possibly. It might be as well to spike their guns now.
By publishing, you mean?
Yes. Once they're convinced they've got the real thing, their quickest way to get more is to steal it. And the process, too, if they can. Or better still, to kidnap one or both of us.
I thought of that. There's nothing to be found at Dyer now, and if I should disappear, publication would follow automatically. I imagine you've taken similar precautions.
Francis, this is all so damn silly and petty. All we want to do is to give people something, to offer them life with time to live it. Look at us. You, hamstrung by the prospect of chaos. Me, sure, they'll try to counter that prospect by suppression. Both of us still on the same old stand.
More coffee?
I think I will. Thank you. I warn you, I'm going to fight. I shall begin by preparing my clients.
I don't see them taking the threat of suppression quietly.
I believe you're looking forward to it.
Of course I am. You've spent 12 years working for it. Embroiled in a pink-shaded dreamland, peopled by purring, scheming, retractile-clawed harpies who support themselves by assisting other women to make the best of themselves. You know how I feel.
I'm told you're no mean businesswoman yourself.
No, it's something to sell. If my rivals only pretend to provide, I could scarcely go wrong, could I?
And future? After all, you'll have quite a lot of future.
Well, I have my plans.
I'm sure you have.
How angry are you with me, Francis?
Not angry. I was. When I first knew, I was very angry indeed. It seemed like a betrayal. A breach of faith that, how shall I put it, that violated the central ethic of our calling. Unforgivable.
I'm sorry.
Then I began to understand. When I had sorted it into shock, vanity, and alarm, I knew it did no good to shelter behind anger. I had to look at myself. I found that 14 years had taken away my right to be angry.
Dear Francis.
Oh, not my right to be alarmed. That I still am.
Ed here. Have either of the boys with you?
Yeah, they're around.
Good. The job's on. I've just seen the boss. He says tonight.
Tonight? Okay.
You know what you're to do?
Yeah, we know.
Make a good thing of it, then. And listen, Jack, no traces. Understand?
Sure, no traces.
Whether you find the stuff or not, you're to make certain of that. The boss was very particular. Got it?
I got it.
Right. Give me a ring when you're through. So long, Jack.
Good morning, Miss Brackley.
Good morning, Sarah. Anything special today?
Not in the mail. But according to my information, the Irish government is banning the export of all Galway seaweed until it's decided how much duty to levy.
Not bad. Anything else?
Lady Fury wished to make an appointment.
What, with me? Personally, do you mean?
Yes. She was very insistent. I arranged provisionally for 3 o'clock. I can cancel if you like.
Oh, no, confirm it, Sarah. Lady Tulip wouldn't insist without a good cause. Tell me, how is the Brendan Secret Service going?
Oh, very well. I understand from Miss Brendan that this man Marlin has cropped up again and offered her £50 for a specimen of the actual seaweed we use.
Getting rash.
Yes. I gather that he told us that the police are interested. An inspector has been asking questions about us and making inquiries from that Mrs. Willoughby.
What a hive of curiosity we are.
The day after the inspector called, Mrs. Willoughby went to Harley Street for a medical checkup.
The dear police, so conventional. However, if you can find out exactly what they're after, I'd be glad to know.
I'll do my best.
Darling Sarah, what should I do without you?
Well, after all, I'm your secretary, Miss Brackley. And now, if there's nothing else...
Well, there is, Sarah. Something important. The time is coming when I shall need someone close to me whom I can trust. I want to tell you some things that no one here knows about.
No one but me.
But
it's a necessary precaution, I'm afraid.
Now, Sarah, let me try to explain things as clearly as I can.
Lady Julie, Miss Bradley.
Janet, my dear.
Diana.
I've only to see you, and I begin to wonder whether I don't make some slight contribution to an art form after all.
Coming from you, Diana, that's close to fishing. May I sit here?
Yes, do.
Cigarette, please. I'll come straight to the point. It isn't very pleasant. Have you seen this?
What a heavenly bracelet. It must be worth a fortune.
Nice, isn't it? Horace Smelton gave it to me for my birthday.
Horace Smelton?
Don't say you haven't heard about my affair with Horace.
Should I?
Considering that you preside over this particular gossip exchange... Oh, but never mind. The funny thing is that although it was Horace who gave it to me, it was my husband who bought it.
I don't understand.
Nor did I. At first glance, one might think he wanted to land me in a mess for purposes of divorce. He isn't really a very nice man, you know. But when I thought it over... That explanation didn't seem to do. I decided there must be something he wanted to find out, and he thought Horace was in a better position to do so than he was. Janet, are you sure you really want to tell
me? Certainly I do, but I'll cut it short. I noticed that Nefertiti kept cropping up in our conversation. Oh, Horace is quite subtle. He played it gently at first. But in due course, we got around to a proposition. If we could get hold of specimens of all the various things you use in Nefertiti, he knew of people who would pay well. They'd pay a very good price indeed for a particular raw material that looked like lichen.
Go on.
Then I remembered that Alec, my husband, has an old friend who is director of Sandra's Chemical Products. As well as not being a very nice man, my husband is an extremely ruthless one.
Well?
I'm sorry, Diana, but I have an impression that the jig is very nearly up.
The jig?
Oh, my dear, I've known you now for 10 years. In all that time, both of us have changed remarkably little, don't you think? Besides, I did do 4 years of medicine, you remember?
How long have you been thinking what you think, Janet?
My suspicions were confirmed about 3 years ago.
You didn't tell anyone?
No. I wanted to see what would happen. There was no real reason for me to interfere. Until now. Now that I have, I'm bursting with questions. A cardinal one is...
Sorry, Janet. Yes?
Miss Saxover is on the line. She says it's very urgent.
Very well, Sarah. Put her through. No, Janet, please, don't move. Hello?
Diana?
Stephanie, what is it, my dear?
It's about Don. Daddy thought it wiser not to ring you himself.
What's happened?
There's been a fire. The living wing's practically burnt out. Daddy had a narrow escape.
Is he all right?
Yes, he managed to get across the roof to the main building. But what he's anxious for you to know is that the police are sure the fire was started deliberately.
But who would want to do that?
The police think there was an attempted burglary and that the fire was started afterwards to cover up. But I'm to tell you not to worry about the you-know-what.
Not good. Your father, Daphne, you're sure he's not hurt?
Says all that happened was that he tore his pajamas.
Oh, thank goodness for that. Oh, thank you for letting me know, and I'll try and have a word with your father when I get home.
Do. I shall be at Dar, too. Richard's driving me down.
Oh, for heaven's sake, take care, and tell your father to as well.
I will. Goodbye.
Bye. You're right, Janet. Too many of them are getting too close. If you'll wait a minute, I'll have a job for you.
Yes, Miss Brackley?
Sarah, you know that parcel of letters in the big safe?
Yes.
Well, they're all addressed and stamped. Please see, they're put in the post straight away. They must go off tonight.
Very good, Miss Brackley.
This is where we take the lid off, Janet. Those letters are invitations to all my clients and to some of the press to attend a meeting next Wednesday afternoon. What I'd like you to do is to start a rumor going that will back up the letter. Not the real thing, of course.
Oh, naturally.
Now, you set something going, Janet, and I'll arrange a leak for the staff here, too. And we'll hope for a full house on Wednesday.
Why so quiet, Stephanie?
I was thinking about Father.
Oh, of course. Sorry.
Look out, Richard!
What the devil does that police car think it's doing? Trying to run it into the ditch?
They're waiting for us to stop.
Damn.
We weren't doing anything, were we?
Not as far as I know.
Careful of that van behind us. It's right on our
path.
Hey, look out! Didn't you see my signal, you stupid clot?
All clear, Charlie. All clear. Out.
What the hell did you
think? I said out.
But the police, I thought...
Never mind what you thought. See this? It works.
Zeph, it's the hold-up.
Out, I said. Come on now, both of you, and make it snappy. Into the van.
But you can't
shut up. Now, get in.
I'm damned if I'm going to...
See what I mean? Come on now, get in. Charlie, give us a hand. Okay.
Let me assure you there's no malice in this, Miss Sackriver. I simply want some information from you, and I intend to get it. Is that clear?
You've no right whatsoever to bring us here. And I haven't the slightest idea what you're talking about.
Oh, but I'm sure that you have. Your father's made a remarkable discovery, has he not? You'd do well to answer my question. Well, come, let's not waste time. You tell me the discovery that I mean. We have no wish to hurt you, Miss Saxover, but we don't much mind how far we go with your friends here. The fact that we've taken the precaution of tying him up rather tightly should persuade you of that. And now, Miss Saxover, which discovery? Very well. Will you demonstrate, Charlie?
Yes.
No.
You see, you can make things very unpleasant for him. However, if you don't mind that, we shall be obliged to employ more direct methods with you yourself. And if you're still obstinate, we shall have to find means of persuading your father to tell us. Well? No? Charlie, somewhat harder this time, if you please. What was this discovery, Miss Quecksilver?
Dreadful. Did they harm the poor child?
No, she's all right. Terribly shocked, of course. But Richard's pretty badly knocked about, I'm afraid. Zephyr says that when they came round, they were lying on the grass verge beside the car just where they'd stopped.
How much did she tell them?
Oh, pretty well everything she knew, I think. Except that your side of it was never raised.
They know where we get it.
Right, sir.
You've no idea who they were?
No.
They could scarcely be your daughter-in-law's friends, I imagine.
Oh, unlikely.
Could be anybody. There's at least half a dozen on the scent now, not counting the newspapers and the police. I'm telling the clients and the press at the meeting on Wednesday, you know. I can't hold up more than a few days anyway. Are you there?
Yes. I still don't fancy the idea. Might seem too much like a publicity stunt for your firm.
Well, possibly at first, but not for long.
But do be careful, Diana. Of yourself, I mean.
Don't worry about me, Francis. I know what I'm doing.
I'm not sure that you do, my dear. I repeat, Diana, please.
Have you seen the evening papers yet, Miss Bratton?
Yes. No better than the morning ones. They tucked us away on their woman's page. As far as they're concerned, the meeting was a complete flop.
If only you've been able to give it some news value.
Good heavens, sir, what do you mean? It's the greatest news since Adam. The clients understood all right, most of them. I couldn't have made it plainer.
But not in the way journalists appreciate. What was needed was a good, fast jab at the superficial sensations. What you gave them was just a sinker in. A lot of implications that take time to register.
Well, there are still the Sundays to come.
Possibly. But we may not have to wait till Sunday.
Sarah? You're holding out on me. What is it?
According to my information, just after the stock exchange closed this afternoon, the Threadneedle and Western Assurance Company declared a moratorium on certain annuities.
I don't get the connection.
Don't you? They described the step as, I quote, a temporary measure pending legal opinion upon the obligation of the company in cases where means have been employed to extend the normal expectation of life, unquote.
Sarah, as I've so often said before, what could I do without you?
Hello, boy, listen to this. The unusual steps taken by Threadneedle and Weston are attributed to announcements by Miss Diana Brackley, director of beauty firm Nefertiti Limited, claiming remarkable success in slowing down organic deterioration rate, which would lead to perceptible rise in life expectancy. Oh, what do you make of it, old boy?
Perceptible rise doesn't tell us much, but it's put the wind up Threadneedle, all right. I reckon we might sell those general eventualities before the going gets rough.
Oh, serious as that, you think?
Could be, old boy. Could be.
Miss Brackley, are you seriously saying that our span of life can be extended indefinitely?
Indefinitely, no. Within certain limits, yes.
But Miss Brackley, even supposing that this drug can do all you claim, does any woman want to live 200 years?
Well, I see no reason why she shouldn't.
Well, would any man wish to live to that stupendous age?
Not if his old woman did, too.
Now, look here. I didn't promote this meeting. It was you, gentlemen of the press, who asked to meet me. Whether you believe what I say or not, it makes no difference to the facts. But for the present, let's get on with it. You ask the questions, and I'll give you some of the answers.
Miss Brackley, in view of the scarcity of the substance from which this antigerone is derived, have you given any thought to the question of priorities? I mean, whom, in your opinion, should first receive its benefits?
It's the real thing, Jerry.
That's hard luck.
Let me see, how did you finish this article of yours? Oh, yeah. The antigerone is without doubt the greatest advance in medical science since penicillin. Let us use it wisely and well, with a full sense of our great responsibility. In our hands may lie the happiness and future welfare of mankind. Going in a bit strong, aren't you?
I think so.
Right, we print in full. front page with pictures and banners. Boy, oh boy, if this doesn't put the old Poe back top of the Sunday circulations, my middle name's not Beaverbrook.
Latest discovery since Benny Shillin. Read all about it. Paper.
Man the gun! Look at this, Diane. She looks glamorous and ancient. Did you ever?
I saw something about it in the Sundays.
Fancy things,
don't
you? Back seat for the teenagers. And about time.
Damn, back for the old folks.
Now, dear man, that's my foot.
Priority for home and empire. Nice a Daniel think so, indeed.
Answer to your own such moral problem.
Man's span of life was decided by the Almighty. And now science and its impious vanity challenges the architect of the universe and says it can do better. It sins as the children of Israel sinned when it was written of them. Thus were they defiled with their own works and went to whoring with their own
image. Switch off, Lennox. Downright and sick.
It is a scandal that the Tories should have permitted the greatest discovery of the age to be developed by private enterprise. The opposition demands that Her Majesty's government shall nationalise the anti-Geron forthwith.
Subservience to clamour from the organised sections of the community must not be tolerated.
It must not remain the privilege of a few.
Priority should be given to those upon whose wisdom and experience at the helm the nation depends.
That priority must be given. Free treatment under the National Health Act should be a primary consideration.
Morning, Zara.
Good morning, Miss Bradley. It's a good thing you got through on the private line. We're besieged by people, and the switchboard's been jammed with callers ever since we opened. Poor Violet's going mad down there.
You tell her to instruct the exchange to accept no more calls.
Very well. Did you hear the broadcast last night?
I did. Good, stirring stuff. Straight from the heart. Now, Sarah, I want you to select 5 or 6 of the most intelligent girls and put Miss Brendan in charge of them. They're to go out into the pubs, espressos, laundrettes, anywhere where people talk, and see what they're really making of it. Then they're to report back to me. Got it?
Yes, Brendan.
I think I'd better keep away today, Sarah.
I'm quite sure you had. But I expect
Well, don't worry. We have 2 very large, well-tipped commissionaires. Good luck at your end, Sarah.
I hope so, I'm sure.
Morning, Kitty. 3 coffees, please.
Quiet
with you, Joe. Yes, please. I say, chaps, this is getting a bit grim, isn't it?
You're telling me. Price is falling like autumn leaves. It's been nothing like it since that week the Chinese announced they'd got the bomb, remember?
Here
you are.
Oh, thanks, Kitty. That's the girl. Now, where was I?
You were saying but.
Oh, was I? Oh, well, anyway, if there's anything in this anti-Jerome thing, why doesn't someone confirm or deny it officially? Then we'd know where we stand.
Haven't you seen a paper today? The paper didn't have a thing about it.
Well, old boy, some other top people have wives who go to Nefertiti, and the perfume round the house is that they've convinced their husbands that the thing's okay. And that's what's really at the back of it. Anyway, I'm betting on this anti-Jerome being the genuine article.
So what?
So now's the time to buy.
Buy what, for goodness sake?
Keep it under your hat. Stores.
Stores?
Keep your voice down, you clod. It's obvious, really. Supposing this stuff only doubles the expectancy of life, there are going to be twice as many women buying twice as much clothing, aren't there?
Yes, but
Go for the big draper.
Yes, but I still don't...
Never mind. You keep thinking it over, old boy. I'm off to put my lolly in the lingerie.
Prime Minister from Secretary Sabbath Preservation Society. Message begins, quote, "The days of our age are 70, unquote. Let it not be said.
Home Secretary. Sir, at an emergency meeting of the General Council of the Brotherhood of British Morticians held today, the following resolution was passed unanimously. That this council shall convey to the government its grave concern regarding the drug anti-Jerome. Use of this drug, if permitted, could lead to serious unemployment among its members. The council urges an immediate reconsideration.
Henry, I see there's a question down for tomorrow on this anti-Jerome business. Have we any more details yet?
Not yet, I'm afraid, sir.
Well, do put a jerk into them, there's a good fellow. We don't want the minister having kittens again, do we?
Indeed not, sir.
Henry, what's your own unofficial opinion on this?
Well, sir, my wife happens to know several ladies who are Nefertiti clients. One has to make allowances for exaggeration, but on the evidence, I'm inclined to believe it can be done. Is being done.
I was rather afraid you'd say that. I don't like it, Henry. If the claims are true, the effects are going to be...
apocalyptic, sir.
Thank you, Henry. Le mot juste, I dear.
Two pints, Gub. So did I tell you straight? I says, looking at me, girl, I says, natural's natural. But this here ain't. Did your ma talk about living 200 years? Did my ma? No. And no more you did naught of neither. Not natural.
That's right, Bill. Unbloody natural, that's what it is. They sort of put a stop to it, that's what they order.
It's a case of being prepared, Inspector. By the way things are building up, it looks as if we're bound to pull her in sooner or later, if only for her own protection.
Yes, sir.
You say dangerous drugs are no good.
We've no evidence of the use of any known drug, and the drug can't be dangerous until it's scheduled as such.
Suspected possession of.
Risky, sir.
Vagrancy, then. She's been telling them they're going to live for 200 years. That's telling fortunes, isn't it?
I'd scarcely think so, sir. She's simply claiming to have something that increases the expectation of life.
That could be fraud.
Could, sir, but is it? Nobody seems to know.
Well, we can't wait 200 years to find out, can we? It seems to me the best thing we can do is to make out a warrant on conduct calculated to lead to a breach of the peace and hold it.
I doubt if we get it granted on the present showing, sir.
Maybe not, but things are beginning to buzz. And today's showing isn't going to be tomorrow's. Anyway, get it filled in as far as you can. I have a feeling we may need it.
To address the delegates again. In an interview on BBC television earlier this evening, Miss Diana Brackley, discussing the drug anti-Jerome, declined to disclose the sources from which it is derived, but expressed herself as fully satisfied.
Toutes les conditions qui étaient nécessaires au pourparler en Europe.
Eingehend die Abstammung dieser Medikamente. Und Ihrer Meinung nach ist diese anti-Jerome nicht synthetischer.
General Warren Dutron.
Provided the claims can be substantiated, the discovery of anti-Jerome could have profound effects on the populations of the world. France, with her long tradition of liberal...
German scientists are closely examining the possible derivations of the drug anti-Jerome. In their opinion, a synthetic origin is not...
Scientists in the USSR are little impressed by the claims made in London for the so-called anti-Jerome. They point out that pioneer work in this field is already being carried out in the Soviet Union, and claims based on the exploitation of such work by English capitalists can be considered to be exaggerated from motives of private profit. Once again...
Diana, where are you?
Out here on the balcony, doing some weeding.
Oh, Diana, what an adorable garden.
And so high up. I love it. Especially now I'm tied to my flat, I'm glad you managed to get in.
Without your check, I wouldn't have gotten near the place. You seem to have a whole corps of commissionaires to guard you.
Well, now you're here, tell me what's been happening. Is it going well?
Our League of New Life, you mean?
Yes, Lydia Washington's been elected leader.
Good choice. Works like the devil and not scared of man or beast. She's thoroughly enjoying herself.
So are you, by the look of you, Janice.
Oh, I am. Now we've looked ourselves over, we seem to be married to half the establishment. In addition, we have relations that are not quite marital with a lot of other influences. There's not much we don't get to know.
I gather the chief trouble has come from the Daily Trumpeter.
Yes. They found they'd backed the wrong horse from the party point of view and have been backpedaling hard ever since. Exploitation of the workers. No promotion for the young, etc., etc. Call to all unions to register massive vote of protest. Hints of general strike action. On the way here, I passed a wall in Notting Hill scored with Ban Anti-G, all out on Demo Trap Square Sunday.
I heard a sermon on Sunday.
Oh, that man jumped the gun. No need to worry about him. The bishops are all more or less pro. Rome still seems to be thinking it over. But our communications aren't so good there for obvious reasons. The stock exchange had to close for a time, but I expect you know that.
And things aren't going so badly, then?
Not on the whole. But we hear the PM's very unhappy, poor man. If he sanctions the use of the anti-G, there'll be riots from the left. If he bans it, there'll be near revolution from everyone else.
And so they're beginning to realize what it means.
But that's only part of the poor man's anxiety. There's still the question of dealing with China.
China? What about China?
It's said to be the only source of religion that yields the anti-Gerone.
That's it.
So once the Chinese find out why we want to buy their lichen, that will finish that.
I didn't say that China was the only source.
No? I'm just telling you what's been said, that the lichen is imported from China and is processed for you at Dahouse. Dahouse? But that's utterly untrue. I import the lichen and I have it processed. Doesn't go near Dahouse. That's a complete fabrication.
Well, don't glare at me. I didn't fabricate
it. I'm sorry, Johnny, but of all the sickening, stupid, dangerous things that happen, just don't bother.
Yes?
Oh, sir, I'm glad you rang. I want you over here at once. Yes, it's most important. What's that? All right, leave it out. I'll take it down. Yes. Yes, I've got all that. Who's it from? Yes. Well, are you sure of that? Very well. Bye. Listen to this, Janet. A cable addressed to Nefertiti. It says, hold all deals pending our seven-figure offer anti-Gerone rights.
Good Lord. Who sent it?
It's signed Lindenbaum, President, Pursuit of Happiness Drug Corporation, Inc., Brooklyn, NY.
Seven figures? This puts a new complexion on things,
does it?
But Diana!
Janet, I need your help. I want to broadcast.
Again?
Yes, again. I don't care what service, but sometime on Saturday evening. Only 10 minutes. 5 would do. But I want to tell them all about the anti-Gerone. What it is, where it comes from. I want them to know the facts for themselves. Do you think it could be fixed?
I should imagine so.
But, my dear, do you think it wise?
Well, that remains to be seen, Janet.
Yes, sir. Everyone got this stuff?
Yeah,
okay. Keep quiet and listen for it. That's the signal. That means Jimmy's cut the phone wires. Are you ready? Then let him have it.
Yes?
Diana?
What is it, Stephanie? For that. What happened, Beth?
We're not quite sure. It seems like a raid by quite a lot of people. It's all gone, Diana. House, lab, block, everything. There's nothing left.
Have the police any idea who did it?
They say they've reason to believe it was a gang who came from somewhere in the lorry. Masterly piece of deduction.
You're sure your father hasn't any real injuries?
As sure as we can be until we see the x-ray.
Well, give him my best wishes.
I will. Oh, by the way, what's this about your giving another broadcast?
How did you hear?
An announcement before the news this morning. Oh, Diana, what are you going to tell them?
The truth, Stephanie. Well, it'll be better that way. If I don't do it now, something far, far worse may happen.
Close the windows, Phil, will you?
Yes, sir, will you?
What do you make of it?
I really couldn't say, Sir William. There's only a handful of them at the moment, but one gathers that something considerably more ambitious is planned for tomorrow.
We've had demonstrations before.
Not on this particular scale, I think, sir.
Don't rub it in, Spiller. The Home Secretary was on the telephone only a moment ago.
Indeed, sir.
Yes, it seems that Scotland Yard's not too happy. The Commissioner's hinting that he may seek special powers to deal with things.
Rather premature, wouldn't you say, sir?
They've been tipped off to expect serious trouble. Apparently, they're also linking up the general picture with last night's outrage.
What was that, sir?
Haven't you heard?
No, sir.
This Dahouse place. where the stuff is said to be processed, was burnt to the ground.
Good Lord.
Incendiarism, without a doubt.
Well, that means that the...
Well, you must draw your own conclusions, man. Oh, by the by, this letter from KPG.
Yes, sir, William.
The ambassador asks if he may call personally this afternoon. Concerning a matter of grave consequence, are his words.
Coming from that quarter, it sounds rather sinister. In the circumstances.
Well, there you go again, Spiller. Well, I'll have to see him, of course. What a confounded nuisance. I must do a check at the four.
Yes, sir.
Well, lay it on for what time, shall we say? 2:30, will you?
Very well, sir. Oh, have you seen this, sir? Midday, Edison. I've marked the passage.
Oh, read it. Out there's a good fellow.
The BBC announces that the Saturday night play in the home service will be postponed to 8:45 p.m. in order to allow Miss Diana Brackley an opportunity of making a full statement regarding the anti-Jerome. Miss Brackley's broadcast, which will begin at 8:30 p.m., will...
Good be... God, no, 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 she mustn't do that. Not at any price. The last thing we want is to blow this thing up any bigger. Oh, no, she's got to be stopped and stopped at once.
Sit down, Inspector.
Thank you, sir.
This Brackley woman, did you get the warrant made out, as I told you?
As far as I could, sir. After last night, the affair struck me that you might want to bring her in anyhow. For her own protection, of course, sir.
Yes. Well, we can kill two birds with one stone. Read this.
Phew, the PM.
Yes, the situation's a bit delicate. This Brackley woman's dug her toes in and refuses to cancel her broadcast.
Well, sir?
She mustn't be available to make it. Do you understand?
Quite, sir.
Have that warrant signed right away and serve it yourself.
Very well, sir.
And get this clear. Miss Brackley must not put her foot inside Broadcasting House tonight.
There she is now, coming through the door. That's Miss Brackley.
She's 40, they say. Looks like a young girl, doesn't she?
Just a moment, Miss Brackley. Hold it, please. Thank you. And good luck with the broadcast.
Good luck, Miss Brackley.
Good luck, Miss Brackley.
Thank you all very much. Good evening, Brewster.
Good evening, Miss. Miss Diana Brackley?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Miss Brackley, but my friend here and I are police officers. I hold a warrant for your arrest. I'm afraid I must ask you to accompany us to Scotland Yard.
Here is a special announcement. We regret that, owing to unforeseen circumstances, Miss Diana Brackley, who was to have spoken about her discovery of the anti-Jerome and its present significance, is unable to come to the studio this evening. Instead, you will hear a short recital on gramophone.
What do you make of it, Jerry? They then wanted to talk. The police have got the sense of freeze or pull in this sack server chap as well. Call it protective custody or anything else you like. The fact still remains the safest place for those two at the moment is under lock and key.
I wonder. We have to see how things go in the square tomorrow. You're covering it, I suppose.
Of course. Nothing will keep me away from those pigeons. I can't wait to see our League of Lovelies go into action.
And covering, I say again, the antidote is the dirtiest weapon of all the dirty weapons and the stories that they raise at the workers. I say by the anti-G and stand it down.
And the anti-G and the anti-G and the anti-G.
Break it up. And let's don't speak of Amber on the square.
How are things going, Inspector?
Not too well, sir. There's another crowd of them approaching down the Haymarket and a rival lot marching up Whitehall.
Well, you know the Commissioner's orders.
Yes, sir.
Got a magistrate standing by.
Yes, sir.
Right, let him get on with it.
Go ahead, sir, please.
Our sovereign ladies, the Queen, charges and commanded all persons being assembled immediately to disperse themselves and peaceably to depart to their habitation.
Hello, Sunday Prowl? News editor, please. Yes, I know it's Sunday, but try. Is that you, Bill? Oh, I thought I might find you there. Listen, they've just read the riot act. What's that? Well, of course there's nothing we can do. I just thought you'd like to know, that's all. Right. See you in the morning. Bye.
Lady Washington, sir.
Ah, come in, Lydia.
Really, dear.
How nice to see you in Downing Street so early in the morning.
How nice of you to let me come. Well, what about yesterday?
A performance quite in the historic tradition of demonstrations.
That's all very well, Willie. But are you going to take notice? Or are you going to send me away to turn my League of a New Light into a political party which will fight you tooth and nail at the next election? Of course, sir, there is the third possibility of civil commotion. What our grandmothers could do, we can do.
My dear Lydia, I'm against civil commotion. It's costly and untidy. And I'm even more opposed to it since resistance movements have given people ideas that your grandmothers would have thought of.
Ideas we should most certainly improve on.
Also, I confess, our side of the House would regret to see a new and possibly very popular party arise.
And the opposition?
Would, I'm sure, regret it still more. They're deeply riven by this business already, you know.
Some of them have seen sense. Yes, thank heaven.
Our own party, far from single-minded in this matter. Many seem not to have learned even yet that if you turn your face away from science, she'll land you a mule's kick on your backside. Nevertheless, in view of the alternatives, I have no doubt that we could put it through, if it lay within our power to do so.
Willie, you sly old fox. You have something up your sleeve. What is it?
A letter, my dear, which reached me by this morning's post. It's written, as you see, from hospital and is signed by a certain Dr. Francis Saxover, a former colleague of Miss Bradley.
The Dollhouse man?
Yes, precisely. In his letter, he confirms our information that the source material, as presented to Rome, comes from a lichen growing only in North Manchuria. He goes on, but now let me tell you in his actual words. This morning, he says, I received an air letter from my agent in Hong Kong telling me that the Chinese authorities have initiated what is presumably intended as a large-scale collective farm in a district which includes the whole of the known lichen-bearing area, and that ploughing up is already in hand.
Gracious. Does he mean...
Well, pray let me continue, Lydia. To the best of my knowledge, there never was more lichen than could supply the antigerone for 3,000 or 4,000 people. Now there will be none.
No more of the antigerone can be produced.
Well, that's the inference. An artless man, this Dr. Saxover, he appears to regard the development as a coincidence.
Which you do not.
The Chinese are a very subtle people, Lydia. Also, they have an excellent intelligence service.
What are you driving at, Willie?
Observe how convenient this is for them. Quite fortuitously, all the lichen, which could have caused a great deal of trouble, has disappeared. And furthermore, their own overpopulation problem is already serious. If they were to add longevity to their remarkable fecundity, well, the country would soon burst at its seams.
It's all too conveniently apt for your government, isn't it? So convenient that nobody's going to believe you. How are you going to persuade them of the truth?
I agree. It leaves us without problem.
Sir William, forgive me, Lady Washington.
What is it, Philip?
I thought you should see this at once, sir. It's just coming.
Now, Lydia, here's your answer. The text of a message by Peking Radio, which our people have just monitored. Now, listen. The government of the People's Republic announces that at 6 o'clock this morning, the first test of a new and revolutionary type of nuclear device was successfully carried out in the Hokiang region of North Manchuria. The explosion, which was in the megaton range, took place in an area which had been found unsuitable for collective development and from which all human animal life as well had been previously evacuated.
But why, Willie? Senseless?
As I said before, the Chinese are a subtle people. They, too, recognize the danger of not being believed. But now it won't do anyone any good to raise a rumpus about stuff that no longer exists.
No, but all the same, something must be done with it. It's not true that what you've never had, you never miss. Now that you've got people all worked up, they'll miss it all right. They'll bawl like a child who's had his toy snatched away.
That's it.
Oh, what's the matter? What the...
Well, you got it, did you?
But I only said...
What do you say to pacify a child who's lost his favorite toy?
Why, don't cry, darling. I'll buy you another.
That's exactly, Lydia. Exactly.
The Prime Minister addressed the House this evening on the subject of the
Antigerode.
It turns out, Jerry. Okay. The discovery, he said, was a scientific triumph for British research. Unfortunately, Antigerode could at present only be produced in minute quantities from an extremely rare form of lichen. And there was no immediate prospect of the situation being improved. It was, however, the government's firm intention that this state of affairs should be remedied as soon as possible. The government therefore proposed an immediate grant of £10 million to subsidize research to this end. He, the Prime Minister, had little doubt that with British brains, British purpose, and British courage...
And that is that cunning old beggar.
It was a good story while it lasted.
You sound as if it was all washed up, kaput, finished.
I didn't say so, Bill.
Well, at least I'm not likely to be faced with the problem of what to give my old woman on her 200th birthday.
Dabber devils, you know, Bell. He's Chinese.
Yes. What was it Confucius said in...
And you're really feeling better, Francis?
Fighting fit. Can't think why they insist on keeping me in this confounded hospital.
You're going out tomorrow.
Yes, thank God. Well, Diana, are you satisfied with the job you've made of it?
Yes, I'm satisfied as far as it went.
You were taking a terrible risk. There could have been bloodshed, even something like civil war.
Well, we got so far without any of that.
Yes, but now that the children have been promised their sweets, they'll raise hell if they're not forthcoming.
But they will forthcome. Both the Americans and the Russians have now made bigger allocations for research than we have.
They must have hated it.
The real trouble, of course, will come later on. But if only we wake up to the famine problem now. If we work flat out on ways to increase food supplies... When something can be done to discourage the suicidal birth rate, we might just manage it with no more trouble than discomfort and short rations for a time.
We shall see.
In the meantime, though, have you any reserves of lichen?
Enough to keep Zephany, Paul, Richard and myself going for some time. I gave the rest for research purposes. And you?
Quite a bit. But it has to be spread over a whole lot of people. I can't let them down altogether.
Then if the researchers produce no results in, say, 3 years... What then?
Well, that's where you come into it, Francis.
I do? But that's impossible. Even if I was able to rebuild Dart, it'd take months, why, years even, to reassemble all the...
I know, but I've still got quite a nice little lab all fixed up in London. That's where you are going to determine the basic molecule of the antigerone.
But, Diana, you don't understand.
I'll drive you up tomorrow and you can see it for yourself.
Doesn't it intimidate you, huh? The whole idea?
Nothing could intimidate me now, Francis. Except the prospect of not having long enough.
200 years.
There. You've said it. The point is that we can't both sit down on our behinds and do nothing for 200 years, can we?
Both?
You look shocked, Francis. You of all people. I wonder how your shock compares with the shock to a young woman who finds that the... How did you put it? The central ethic of her calling is being violated by... Oh, Francis, are you going to make me say it?
Yes. I think I am.
Darling, I love you.
Diana, do you mean it? Do you really mean it?